welcome to worship. Those who are joining online, welcome from your own places. We are here together as one to lift high the name of our God, to celebrate who he is, what he has done, and what he continues to do. As we prepare our hearts for worship, we're going to hear some words from Revelation chapter 5. Revelation is a vision that John has of what's kind of going on in this thing we call the kingdom of God, in this place we call heaven. And so I invite you this morning, if you're comfortable, as you hear these words, you might close your eyes for just a moment. And we'll go straight from his words into prayer, so you'll already have your eyes closed. But try to picture this scene of what's happening right now, where our eyes can't yet see it. But through this thin veil that separates heaven and earth, there's a real place with a real throne, with real angels and saints gathered around, lifting up praise to our Lord. And we join him in that, in this place. Did you hear these words? Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And all the elders fell down and worshiped. Would you pray with me? Oh, living God, this morning, we join those who are around your throne, even in these moments. And we have come like them to worship the one who is worthy, the Lamb who was slain, now seated on the throne of all thrones, the eternal throne, the only one who is worthy of our lives, of our praise. The one whom we can proclaim is worthy of all glory and power and honor and majesty. God, we continue to live in some hard days, a weird season, and it just goes on and on. But we can start so easily to believe that that's the only truth of what's going on. And yet we know you, eternal God, are also going on. That this season is but a tiny blip on the screen of all of the seasons. And the Lord who was is the same Lord who is, and the same Lord who is to come. And so we come together as people of hope and people of joy and people of peace and people who worship. Because in worship, we remember what's real and what's true and what is forever. And so would you renew our hearts in this place? Might our praises bring glory to your name? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. Would you pray with me? Father God, now as we turn to your word once again, I do ask, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Father God, over the last 5 years, we've asked this, turning to your word, more times than we can count. And we ask it again this morning. With your Spirit's help, would you help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear? And so you might help us be who it is you want us to be. So you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. On this day, 5 years ago, it's really cool that every 5 years, or maybe not, but at least this 5 years, it falls exactly on a Sunday. So it was really on this day, 5 years ago, I got to stand in the pulpit for the first time as your pastor. And in some ways, I feel like I've been here for decades already, and maybe some gray hairs to show it. But in other ways, I feel like we are just getting started on this journey with Jesus together. And so as you guys do at New Year's or anniversaries, I've spent this last week reflecting a lot on the past 5 years. I've thought about the ups and the downs, the things that exceeded my expectations, the things that hurt more than I thought they would. I've been reflecting on all of you, on all the different faces and the stories of people that I didn't even know existed 5 years ago and who I get to share life with now, the people that I get to love now. And I've been reflecting on the new lives that have been born in our midst in the last 5 years. The newest one, Silas over there, been thinking about him and what it's going to like for him to grow up in our midst. And I've been thinking about the beloved ones that we've said goodbye to along the way. Turns out a lot happens in 5 years. I've been reflecting on the ways God has shown us his goodness and his power. Been reflecting on summer camps and vacation Bible schools and the many groups that have gathered around the table in different seasons to go deeper and deeper into God's word together. Been reflecting on the hundreds of office visits, most of them unscheduled, that led to sacred conversations. I've been thinking about the dozens and dozens of outreach efforts seeking to be the light of Christ in this community. This week, I've been busy reflecting. If you do a quick flip through the epistles, that's the letters in the last part of your Bible, you're going to find that most of the epistles are letters written by Paul to different churches that he invested in and that he loved. And when you begin to read these, you'll see a common pattern through most of them. In most of the epistles, Paul starts out by giving thanks to the church that he's writing to. And he's giving thanks specifically for ways that he has seen God at work in their midst. And then he moves from his thanks and he begins to share his prayers for this community, for this church. And these prayers for them, they're really Paul giving his hopes for where they're going to be another year, another 5 years down the road. And so in Ephesians, we find Paul and he's writing to his beloved church at Ephesus. That's the church he spent the longest stint at. He was there for 3 years in the midst of his missionary journeys. And he writes back to these people that he loves. And he says, I give thanks for your strong faith in the Lord. And I give thanks for the way that you love all of God's children. And then he says, and I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you'll get more wisdom for God to reveal more and more of himself to you. He says, I pray that your heart will really know the hope that's before you. I pray that you will know how powerful you are with God in you. It's a beautiful prayer, a beautiful hope Paul gives to the Ephesians. And so following Paul's style, I'd like to offer a similar word of thanks and then a similar sneak peek into my prayer life on our behalf during this fifth anniversary together. I tried, and even still 5 years in, I still cannot be as concise as Paul. I can't bring it down to two lines. And so for this Sunday, I just want to give a word of thanks. and for next Sunday. So you got to come back. It's like a two-part series. Maybe not, may not be cupcakes, but it's okay because we come for Jesus anyway. So you come back next Sunday. And next Sunday, I'll share my prayers for us going forward. It's like Ephesians, Bellfair Community Church, extended version. So BCC, I give thanks to my God for you took a risk on me. You know, not many search committees would even look at a resume of a young, single, female pastor. But you did. And when the proposal of a totally outside-the-box pastor came to the rest of you, most of you were willing to say yes to Jesus on something brand new, something totally outside the box. And I know that for many of you, it took real humility to allow a young woman from Texas, of all places, to move into Bellfair and try to speak into your lives. I know that that was hard. And I know that you could have said, you know, we just can't learn from someone that age. We can't learn from a 30-year-old. Our kids are that age. And some of you could have said, we can't learn from a female because there's this one verse in the Bible that said that. And some of you could have said, well, you know, we can't learn from a Dallas Cowboys fan because that's some kind of level of depraved. How could they have anything to say? But you didn't say that. You could have. Instead, you said, maybe Jesus's ways are different than we imagined. Maybe his calling is wider than we once thought. And so you took the risk and you invited me to your table and to your pulpit. And BCC, my whole life long, you will always be the ones who first took a risk on me, believing that God might be up to something in me and through me. So what can I do but only give thanks to my God for you? BCC, I give thanks to my God for the grace that you have shown me. It's with you that I've led my very first council meetings, that I've led my very first business meetings. It's with you that I've tried to set church budgets for the first time, that I've navigated this weird world of hospital visits by day and picking up pizza for youth group by night. It's with you that I've been trusted with officiating some of my very first weddings and funerals and baby dedications. It's with you that I got to stand behind the table and hold up the bread and say, the body of Christ broken for you. And it's with you that I have failed to meet expectations. It's with you that I've forgotten to make a needed phone call. It's with you that I've surely said something in some sermon in the last 5 years that seemed offensive. It's with you. The list goes on. You see, the thing is, we've been doing this for half of a decade, and what this is relationship. And so if you've been close to the church at all over the past 5 years, odds are I've hurt you. And odds are you've probably hurt me. It's called relationship. But here we are together still. Here we are leaning into God's heart together still. Here we are receiving from one another, loving one another still. BCC, you have given me grace upon grace as I've slowly grown into my calling as your pastor. And when I fail to live up to your expectations, the fact that you're here this morning says you haven't written me off yet. You've allowed me to be a human and on a journey of growing with Jesus too. In Bellfair, Jesus has taught me that my own wits and my own skills and my own degrees that could hang on a wall, that they're not going to bring the kingdom of God to this place. Only his spirit and my heart surrendered to it will do that. You've taught me that I need grace as much as the next person. And in learning to receive it from you, I have encountered the goodness of God like never before. You have taught me that. Thank you. Thank you for making grace come alive to me. And thank you for how I know you will offer it again and again. And my friends, I promise I will continue to do the same for you. That's a relationship in the arms of Jesus. PCC, I give thanks to my God for the sacred space that we've shared. For those moments that you have invited me into your real world. That you've allowed me to break bread with you around your family's table at your home. Well, when we walk in the park and you tell me what's really going on in your heart. When you say, can I tell you something I've never told anyone before? You guys, those moments are holy to me. There is nowhere else in the world I'd rather stand than in those places with you. Thank you for letting me come into the NICU and hold your newborn baby. Thank you for letting me sit with you as we waited for the funeral home to come and to take your loved one away. Thank you for the holidays that you refused to let me celebrate alone. Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, Easter's, Mother's Day even. You've said, Jamie, your family to us. Come over, be a part. Thank you for that. It's not easy to live 3,000 miles from your family. Thank you for being family to me. The first time my parents came to visit in my very first year here, Andy and Pam pulled them aside. Where are Andy and Pam? There you are. And they pulled my parents aside and they said, she's our daughter's age. And while you guys aren't here, we'll step in for you. And they have meant that. And they've, They have showed up for me every holiday and random text messages at least once a week. Thank you. Thank you. Each time I get to step into your world, because I'm invited into your home, or because you dare to share a real glimpse of your heart with me, there is a stirring within me, you guys. And in those moments, I want to take off my shoes because I know that I'm standing on holy ground. You let me pray for you. You let me really know you. You let me wrestle with God on your behalf. My friend Tammy, every week about 10 times, we're wrestling with God together, aren't we? Yes, on your behalf, thank you. You help me know Jesus more because you let me see Jesus in you. Thank you. God created us to be known. And God created us to belong. And for the thousands of ways you've said to me, you're not just a pastor and you're not just doing a job for us. You're our sister and you're our friend and we will know you and we will let you belong to us. Thank you. BCC, I give thanks to my God for the ways you've shown me that he is still on the move. Nothing has renewed the joy of my own salvation more than the times I've gotten to walk into the waters of the baptistry with one of you. You've spoken your testimony out to us, and you've told us of a God who still finds us and who still overwhelms us with his love and who still saves us by his grace and who still heals us of our hurts. My friend Jimmy, I will never forget his testimony. He stood in that place and he said, you know, years ago, not that many years ago at that point, my son passed away of cancer. And he said, I've been in my heart just waiting, really to die and to be with him. And he said, but here I am in my 60s. And God is stirring up something new in me where he's telling me that I've got something to live for. And he said, and so I'm getting baptized because I'm not going to just wait to die. I am going to start to live. Your real journeys with Jesus spur on my own. I've seen you find life on the other side of addiction. I've seen you find peace on the other side of grief. I've seen you find love on the other side of heartache and hope on the other side of despair. And I've celebrated with you when prayers have been answered. And I have cried with you when we're not sure why they weren't. And I've heard you share of new callings stirring in your heart from God. And I have tried to lean into those with you. Over and over again, as you show up to this living God who is moving in you, my heart takes note. And I find myself, because of you, over and over again, saying it with you, he is real. And he's really here. And he's really not done yet. God is still on the move. Thank you for moving with him, because you're keeping me moving with him too. BCC, I give thanks to my God. For those among you who just keep stepping out of your comfort zones to say yes to God's call. These adults who never spent an hour in youth ministry in their lives started showing up to teens over a year ago. And they just kept showing up even when it was really stinking hard. Some of them even dared give up their vacation days for kids and youth camp. Imagine that. We've seen young people come to know for the very first time that they are loved and there is a God who is with them and who is for them because of you stepping out. Thank you. A dozen of you stepped up to lead small groups, to invite people into your home, to cook for them, to lead conversations that get to their hearts. That's vulnerable, you guys. That takes work. But you said yes just because you believed God asked you to. Thank you. Some of you in recent months have gone out and tried marching for the first time, and not marching band kind of marching, marching with a cause kind of marching. That's hard. That's vulnerable. Some of you have made phone calls that stretched you during this season. Some of you have taken a risk on planning a shower to bless a new mom or a college student. Not sure how it's going to go, but you poured your heart out to it anyway, just because God asked you to. Some of you have walked into a hospital room to offer a prayer with your own heart pounding out your chest because it's a little bit uncomfortable and unknown. Some of you hate cooking, but you've stood up to make a casserole for a family in hard times. I see it. The people of Jesus making real sacrifices, really stepping out on limbs to honor him. Because when Jesus asks you to, you'd rather be uncomfortable than miss out on joining God's heartbeat in this world. And your stepping out makes me want to do the same. It keeps me taking risk when God calls my heart to it too. And so for that, I say thank you. BCC, I give thanks to God for the quiet servants among us. Those who show up to offer their gifts to God when no one's looking, even in a pandemic. We had a mission team here from Port Angeles a few weeks ago. It was a really crazy heat spell weeks when it was like 90 degrees by noon. And so this group, they got up at 6 a.m. to work on this gaga ball pit over here. And they told me, they said, Jamie, did you know when we got up at 6 a.m., we weren't the first ones here? They said there was somebody else, won't tell you who was already at work in that garden patio over there, pulling weeds, painting stuff. At 6 a.m. And I was like, my goodness, I would have never known because I'm not awake at 6 a.m. I wonder how many times that's happened. Quiet servants among us. Do you know that our brother Stan, who faithfully keeps our facilities looking beautiful, the last 4.5 months with everybody else in the world has gone through unemployment as we haven't really had the finances or need to have our facilities clean because they've been locked. Did you know that over the past 4 months, he's come in every week anyway? No payroll, no time clock, just because he cares about keeping God's things beautiful. Did you know that our friend Nick is our new treasurer? Did you know that he works full time? And so he sneaks into the little side back office after a long day at work, sometimes not getting here till 7 p.m. This week he messaged me almost at 8:30 about receipts. It's like, shouldn't you be going home now? You would never know because he's doing it in a back quiet office. In the evenings, when no one's around, helping us be faithful with our giving and our stewardship. Do you know that Miss Diana, every time someone says, I'm in need of a meal, do you know she's the first one not just to ask you to bring it, she's always the first one to bring it. We never know that until you're on the receiving end. Did you know that our friend Zeta's worried about our church refrigerators when no one else even knows anything about them? She's calling repairmen, getting them on the up and up, just because it matters to her that our things continue to work and be functional for the kingdom of God, even when nobody sees it. Did you know our friends Jimmy and Andy come out here and mow and weed eat these grounds during the week? When no one's around, just again to keep things beautiful. Did you know that on these kind of days, our worship band gets here at 7 a.m. to set everything up, and they don't usually pull out till afternoon? And they wouldn't want you to know that because they're not doing it to be known. But my goodness, these quiet servants among us. All of you who do what you do with no spotlight on you at all. You do it just because you love God and you love these people and you love this life that we share together. You do it because you value those words from your Father, well done, good and faithful servant, even more than you need a pat on the back from your peers. Your servant hearts inspire my servant heart. Thank you. BCC, I give thanks to God for the open table that we share in this space. BCC is a come as you are church, and we mean it. There is room here in God's family right here for all political affiliations. There is. There's room here for folks who read the exact same Bible passages and come up with totally different interpretations. There's room here for folks who are squeaky clean. Spoiler alert, there's not very many of them. But there's also room here for folks who have really been through some stuff. There's room here for long-term believers, and there's room here for brand new believers, and there's room here for not yet believers. There's room here for every kind of family makeup that there is. There's room here for every kind of sinner and for every kind of saint. The table is not closed to any. This family is open to all. And that's because Jesus is at the center of his table. And we know that his heart turns no one away. Thank you for turning no one away, people of BCC. I think it's the most beautiful thing about who we are. My heart becomes more like Jesus when I meet him at the table with you. I mean that. I give thanks to my God for the many laughs that we share together. If you could be a fly on the wall in the office, you'd see that we don't take ourselves too seriously very often. Am I right, Danielle? It's just life in ministry is too hard. Not to just laugh your way through it, right? Every day filled with laughter. Think about summer camps and the laughs shared between sleep-deprived leaders. Laughs together when bats take over the church office. Just this week, Danielle and I were in our own offices working, and we heard down in the fellowship hall, Jolene just started laughing. I hadn't seen her in months. And Danielle and I both started laughing and said, my gosh, we missed that laugh. I give God thanks for the laughter because it signifies joy in serving him. And it should be a joy, shouldn't it? And finally, I give God thanks for your stories. So many of them are filled with pain and heartache and disappointment and loss. But here you are, still showing up to God, still leaning on his promises. Here you are, still worshiping. Here you are, still serving. Here you are, still clinging to the one who clings to you. My friends, your resilience and your strength and the power of forgiveness I've seen in you. Your determination to go a different way than you learned from your parents. Your willingness to fight for the right things, to fight for life and for love, and your courage and your grit to show up to life. It has changed me, you guys. It has changed me. I know standing here today that I can trust in my good God no matter what comes, not because I read a Bible verse about it, but because I've seen your trust in him when the worst has come. Your faith in him has made my own faith stronger than it has ever been. And I mean that. BCC, I give thanks to God for you. I love you. Not the building that holds us, the people. That's you. The people who make BCC a living body. I love our story together. I love how Jesus shines in our quirkiness and in our mess, in our authentic love, and in our real stories that lean on God's grace. Sometimes I worry about you. Sometimes I stress to no end about us. Sometimes my heart hurts. Sometimes I feel tired and I forget for a moment that it's all a gift, this pursuing Jesus by your side. But more days than that, and for sure on this day, I am only thankful for you. For you've made me fall more in love with my Jesus than ever before. For you have shown me parts of his heart that I had never seen before. For you have allowed me to share what Jesus is putting on my heart with you. For you have loved me through Jesus Christ in you. Today, I am only thankful for you. Christ in us together. What a beautiful gift. Thank you, BCC. Thank you, God. Today, it's just thank you. Would you pray with me? God, you are good to us, and you are good to us through one another. For all that has been in just these last 5 years, we know 5 years really isn't that long. And yet lots of life happens in that time. Thank you. We've seen your grace. We've seen your goodness and your kindness. We've seen your power. We've seen your heart. Thank you, O God. For the years to come, keep it up, O God. Keep it up. And we will just keep saying, thank you. Amen.